Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I want to thank you for ordering this important audio tape message. It was given at the Niagara Falls Prophecy Conference recently, and it is the most important message I've ever given because it has to do with contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Thank you, my good friends.
We begin the message today. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for being with us in this auditorium. Father, you are so good to us. You're good to us because we have you in our hearts and our souls, and we shall live with you forevermore. And Lord, that's really the only thing that counts. Because what good would it do, your word says, if we gain the whole world but lost our very souls? Now, Lord Jesus, as I tell the folks what I have to speak today, I ask you to anoint this message, to give me guidance, and let me speak as the oracles of God. Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit would testify, I was not intending to give this message today, but your Holy Spirit troubled me last night, and I could not sleep. And so, Lord, I ask that you anoint me in this message and each person here today as I speak about your holy word and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Amen. My friends, I want to talk to you today about God's Word. I want to talk to you today about the Bible. You know, there is a great controversy raging in our churches today. If you haven't heard of it, you will. It may be that you are a victim or will become a victim of this great controversy that is going to overtake the Christian church. It will be the one thing that divides. This is not a bad thing, for division is good, because there really is safety only in unity under the doctrines and commandment of Christ. And no other unity, my friends, can we find a safe harbor from the choppy seas and the waters that would engulf us in darkness. And so, I want to tell you about this great controversy. I want to tell you about something that is more hideous, more heinous than anything that I have ever exposed. There is no book that I have written, even the ones that have gone to number one on the bestsellers list, that is more important than what I will tell you today. No, not the New Age movement. No, not even Roman Catholicism. No, nothing is more important than what I will tell you about today. Now let me, first of all, tell you that when I was troubled by the Holy Spirit last night and unable to sleep, I asked God to inform me about how to present this message. And believe it or not, as humorous as it may seem, when I have a very thorny question like that, God gives me the gospel of the handkerchief. The gospel of the handkerchief. It may sound very strange to some of you, but there's a little story behind the handkerchief and the gospel of the handkerchief. Do you notice that I wear a handkerchief? I didn't all the time, of course, but my wife Wanda made me. Wives are like that, you know. They tend to your dress and keep you under control and all of those things. And we men have to be very submissive to women in certain aspects. They're very powerful about these things. They have their jurisdictions, even according to the Bible. I believe that men's dress is one of the things that God has put women in control of. I really do. And you see, when I had books that were number one on the bestsellers list, Wanda said, you know, Tex, there's one thing that you lack, and that's the hanky. She said, you know, you're old-fashioned. You know, you were in the Air Force all those years, and you wore that same blue suit every day. It didn't have a hanky. But have you noticed all of the big names on television? All of the great evangelists. Look at John Ankerberg. They all have a hanky. Isn't that true? She says, if you're going to be anything, you'll be a nothing unless you have a hanky. Well, I pondered it, and like so many men, I was rebellious against my wife and her counsel. I said, no, I'm not going to get me a hanky. Well, first of all, friends, I'm cheap. You know, when I was a little kid, you'd buy one of these things. I call them a bandana. They cost like 39 cents. Now they actually cost, they cost $10 or $15. It's terrible. Not only that, I own maybe 10 or 12 ties, and they're all different colors. Wanda told me that my tie must be coordinated with my hanky. That meant 10 or 12 hankies, I thought. And it's a big mess. I mean, my closet doesn't even have room for these things. I just wasn't going to do it. Well, then one day, my salvation came. I was in big trouble with Wanda, but I was in a department store. This is the honest truth. And I saw something that actually saved me. And this is what it was. All right? Yeah? How about that? Yeah? I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Very colorful, isn't it? That's very colorful, very beautiful. And you know, the nice thing about, not like the old days when you had, you know, the handkerchief had to be starched and it had to have 3 points like the Holy Trinity. Now you just choose, like, see, you have a burgundy here, so you just take it and you just sort of stick it in. Doesn't matter how it goes, you know. Really, just as long as a little bit of burgundy shows. I love it. I'm a messy guy. This is a messy hanky. Great. Yeah. I love it. Well, you know, one day I began to consider and ponder this hanky. And I said to myself, you know, there's a reason God gave me this. There's a gospel in this hanky. There's a gospel that would point you to Jesus and all the great and wonderful and colorful and fantastic things that await us as saints in heaven. But there's also perhaps a lesser gospel of the devil. You know, the devil has many colorful things too for you and for me. Many, many things. And I began to think, what if I were the devil? This hanky could remind me of what I need to do to deceive mankind. If I were the devil, what would I do in considering the gospel of the handkerchief? Well, first of all, I'd choose a different color, and I'd say, this is reincarnation. And you see, I'd teach people reincarnation, and I'd win a few souls for eternity in hell with me through reincarnation. If I were the devil, I'd lie to people and tell them that really your future is revealed in the stars by the astrologers. Oh, that would work for quite a few. Look at your daily newspapers, the horoscopes. Some would believe me. And then, just as I have the fate of eternal damnation, they'd be there too. If I were the devil, that's what I'd do. I'd choose the color of astrology. If I were the devil, I'd choose this color to be the curriculum in the public school. Oh, yes. I'd instruct the children, you see, about evolution. God didn't create you. You came from slime. If I were the devil, that's what I'd do. I'd take out the Ten Commandments off the walls. And I'd remove prayer from the schools so the kids couldn't pray to Jesus and find out the truth. Yes, that's this color right here. If I were the devil, that's what I'd do. And then if I were the devil, I'd go to the great seminaries and the great Bible colleges and all of those men with their great PhDs and DDs and whatever letters you want to give them. And if I were the devil, I would whisper in their ears and I would say, the miracles of Jesus cannot be true. You don't want to teach that to your students. And Jesus really wasn't God. You don't want to tell people that in your classroom. That's what I'd whisper in the ears of the theologians if I were the devil. If I were the devil, I'd take this color here and I would put pornography everywhere and violence and wickedness on our movies, in our television sets coming over the airwaves, in comic books, in the library books, and I'd feed it massively, never ending, into the minds of little boys and girls and grown men and women. If I were the devil, that's what I'd do. But then, you see, still, I haven't accomplished enough. Because as the devil, I would hate Jesus Christ and what he's done for the world. And I would hate what he has done to me simply because I rebelled against him. And I would say, but wait, after all of these colors, there's the central color. There's the darkest. Oh, what can I do with this color of black? What is utter darkness? If I were the devil, what would be blackest of all? If I were the devil, the blackest would be to attack the very word of God. Oh, yes. None of these things would cause as much damage to God and bring as many souls to hell forever as simply attacking, destroying the word of God. If I were the devil, that's what I would do. I'd take the Bible. I'd mangle it. I'd distort it. I would purposely misinterpret it. I would chop out parts. I would delete entire passages. Oh, I would be so happy. I would remove the most important verses where it talked about the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus. I'd even eliminate the name of Jesus from the Bible. Oh, I'd leave people so confused like a termite in the yo-yo. If I were the devil, that's what I would do. If I were the devil, I would invent new versions of the Bible. I would have evil men and women to invent these new versions. And I would print them, mass distribution. I would put them in all of the 6,500 bookstores in the United States of America and throughout Canada. If I were the devil, that's what I would do. And then, if any man or woman refused to admit that these new versions were the only true gospel, I'd punish them. I'd persecute them. If I were the devil, that's what I'd do. And my friends, I'm here to tell you that that's exactly what the devil is doing today through these false new versions of the Bible. Now, I want to tell you why this is so deadly, why this is so dangerous, and what's going to be happening in the next few years because of this. You see, in Luke chapter 21, verse 33, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Oh, God says, this is forever. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture, every word is given by inspiration of God. Every word. We read in the Bible that Jesus said that the Scripture cannot be broken. The Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all is filled. One jot? One tittle? Do you know how infinitesimal that is? Do you know how small a jot or a tittle is? God says that his word is settled in heaven. Forever settled in heaven. But if I were the devil, I would say, yes, but it's not settled on earth. Not as long as I have my say, it won't be. Now, my friends, the great controversy is here, and people are beginning to divide. There is a gentleman here that I know, that I've talked to, who has been persecuted from his church. He was thrown out of his church because he believed that the King James Bible is the true Bible. Dr. McNair, are you here today? Would you please stand up? This is the man right here who simply wanted God's word to be read. Thank you, sir. He was put out of his church. And then the Christian and Missionary Alliance, once a grand, great church, put out a directive to all of its pastors and told them that if they believed, if they taught that the King James was the true Bible, they would lose their license. They would be kicked out of the pastorate. Oh, my friends, there is a great dividing going on. Now, God has put in my heart for many years to expose these false versions. But I want to tell you something. I didn't fully do what God told me to do. Oh, I got involved in other books and other projects, but God kept working on me. He was merciful to me in giving me a little space to do these things. But finally, I had no choice but to speak out on these things. Now, I want to tell you, when you do, when you say that the King James is truly God's inspired, authoritative, infallible word, you will be looked upon as uncouth and ignorant and stupid and uneducated. But that's a price that I believe every true person of God is willing to pay. Now let's look. I would not be up here and tell you these things unless I had evidence and documentation. I even have a book. It's not my book. It's written by a precious Christian sister. Wanda and I have had the opportunity to meet with her and her husband. She's a family woman. She's very concerned about these things. She wrote this book, New Age Bible Versions. It's 690 pages. We offer it through the ministry because I believe in it. Not that Gail Ripplinger, the author, is perfect. Only God's Word is perfect. This is not sacred script, but there is great documentation in this book. It will shock you. It will startle you. It will amaze you. It will bless you with its documentation. Now, because Gail Ripplinger wrote this book, I want to tell you something. She is being persecuted left and right. Lies are being made up about her. The Christian Research Institute, this Catholic Vatican think tank in California, comes out almost every day and blasts Gail Ripplinger. And, of course, they like to mention Tex Moore's name in retrospect as well because she wrote this book. At first, they said, oh, but you see, she's not really a scholar. First, they lied about her and put out information that she really didn't even have the credentials that she said she had. Unfortunately, my friends, I had in my hands the 5 university-level textbooks that she has authored. They said she was only a home economics teacher. What does she know? Well, first of all, my friends, it's not how much of man's knowledge you have anyway. That means absolutely nothing to me. When a person says, I'm Dr. So-and-so, I wonder who taught this man. What lies were fed to this man? And he has to prove himself to me that he believes in the unvarnished word of God before the fake and the liars got to him. And only if they didn't poison his mind will I believe and listen to that man. I say that, my friends, and I've taught at 3 universities, the University of Texas at Austin. I graduated summa cum laude from Park College in Kansas City. I taught for Golden Gate University in San Francisco. But I want to tell you something. Nothing that I ever taught is worth one red cent compared to the Word of God. In fact, I've had to renounce most of what I learned in colleges and universities. I've had to renounce most of it, especially the psychology that I used to teach at college level. Absolute trash and garbage, all of it. The New Bible Versions, I want to tell you why they're dangerous. And then I pray that you will get this book, New Age Bible Versions, and read it. And let me know if the Holy Spirit does not reveal these things to your heart. I want to give you some examples. Now, we can talk all day about the scholarliness. We can talk about the history. We can talk about what happened at the Council of Trent. We can talk about what Pope Leo did. I can tell you about the Masoretic text, the majority text, the minority text. We can talk about Alexandria, Egypt, and that text. It's all trash. Let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And let's compare the Word of God, the King James, with the false versions of the lying devil. I get so tired of these people. I was on a radio program, and a man called up, and it's very common. He says, don't you realize the rapture's not even in the Bible? That was made up in the 1800s by some little girl from Scotland. She had a vision, and I said, friend, haven't you ever read 1 Thessalonians? Haven't you ever read what Paul said was going to happen in the twinkling of an eye? Now, I'll argue with you a little bit. We'll have some fun as Christians about the timing of the rapture. But don't tell me Jesus isn't going to raise up his children and then bring wrath on this world. And don't tell me this theory started in 1800 somewhere in Scotland, because I know where it started. It started in the mind of God from the very foundation of this world, and he wrote it in his Bible. He said, but you haven't studied history. Well, I want you to give you some examples. First of all, let's start with the devil, because he's the smallest anyway. If you have the NIV, you would turn to Isaiah 14, verse 12, and here's what you would read. How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? Now, there's something wrong with that. Because my Bible, your Bible, the only Bible, the King James, has this wordage. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. The counterfeit son of the morning. Lucifer. Jesus Christ didn't fall from heaven. Jesus said, I beheld Lucifer like lightning fall from heaven. That's in the Gospel of Luke. Why did the NIV version, the most popular, the most best-selling, the copyrighted version that makes millions of dollars every year for its copywriters and publishers, why did they take the name of Lucifer out of Isaiah 14? Oh, my friends, I have debated the occultists and the Satanists and the New Agers, and they would say to me, show me where Lucifer is fallen. Show me where Lucifer is Satan. And you know what? If I had the NIV, I couldn't show them. Oh, don't you know the devil loves that? Because you keep reading there in Isaiah 14, and Isaiah says not only in identifying Lucifer as hell, as fallen from heaven, but he says, your destiny, Lucifer, is the pit of hell. No wonder the devil removed his name from that. In 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to go very fast, and I know you're not going to be able to keep up, but I pray that you'll get the tape or the video. 1 John chapter 4 says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. I'll tell you, that has helped me a lot in identifying New Agers who have the spirit of Antichrist. But you read in the NIV, you got a problem. Because the very words, this is that spirit of Antichrist, have been removed. It's not there. Even the very words, if Jesus Christ, or is come in the flesh, that follows that, it's not there in the NIV. Then you turn to Mark chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Jesus' words, he says, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, claiming I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He said, they'll come in my name and they'll say, I am Christ. And I'm telling you, friends, there are dozens of them out there today saying, I am Christ. David Koresh being only one of many. But wait, in the NIV, you won't find the words, I am Christ. They've been deleted. So when they come and they say, I am Christ, you say, so what? Why is that a problem? My NIV Bible doesn't say anything about it. Oh, my friends, we've got a problem here in the Christian church today. How about the removing of Jesus' name? Did you know that Jesus' name is removed 73 times from the New American Standard Bible? 73 times. Did you know that the name of Jesus is removed 38 times from the NIV Bible? 38 times. If you say the King James added that and shouldn't have had it in there, would the devil add the name of Jesus 73 and 38 times to the Bible? I think not. Let's look at this. And let me give you just a few examples. We don't have the time for that many. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. How are you reconciled to God? By Jesus Christ, but not in the NIV. Because the word Jesus is removed in the NIV. There are many Christ, but we are reconciled by Jesus Christ, but only in this Bible, the King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, Let him be anathema. But wait, that's only in the King James, because the NIV says, if any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema. Who is the Lord? The NIV doesn't tell you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, the King James says, God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Who created the heavens and the earth? Jesus Christ. But not according to the NIV. The words by Jesus Christ are stricken from the NIV. In Acts 8:37, my friends, a person says to you, how can I be saved? What would prevent me from being baptized? And you say, oh, listen, I have a wonderful Bible story for you. Let me take you to the example of Philip and the eunuch, the Ethiopian. Philip came upon this man, and there he was in his chariot, and there he was reading the Word of God. And Philip came and witnessed to him. And the man said, how can I be baptized? How can I enter the kingdom of God? Acts 8:37, we read in the King James Bible, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm telling you, my friends, that man was ready for being baptized, wasn't he? He confessed with his lips, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But he didn't in the NIV, because this whole verse is taken out. And then there's the removal of the deity and the majesty of God in these new Bible versions. For example, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. God said, I am Alpha and Omega. But not in the NIV. You won't find that there. Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Another glorious story. Oh, my friends, tell it to your kids, but not reading the NIV. We've got a problem. Now, here's what the King James, the only true Bible, says. Remember now, this is the story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Oh, they said, we're not going to bow down. Throw us into that fiery furnace. We may perish if that's God's will, but we will still not bow down to the devil's idol. Well, we need men. We need women like that today. We need stories like that today to stir up the passions of men and women and cause them to break down and repent on their knees before the living God, who can save you from the fires of hell. But we read in Daniel 3:24 in the King James, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm telling you, my friends, even Nebuchadnezzar, in astonishment, recognized and spoke with his mouth that it was the Son of the living God down there in that fiery furnace, but not if you have the NIV. Because, unfortunately, they take out the words like the Son of God, and it becomes a son of the gods. Because, unfortunately, they take out the words like the Son of God, and it becomes a son of the gods. And then let me tell you about another story, and this is very important to me because of the return of paganism and mystery Babylon and the New Age movement and occultism here in America today. And you turn to Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas. They preached at Lystra. They had miracles from God. And the people said, why? These men must have been sent by the gods. They said, Paul must be Mercurius or Mercury. They said, Barnabas is the god Jupiter. And so they set about to have a sacrifice, a great ceremony to celebrate the coming of the gods, Mercury and Jupiter. But Paul and Barnabas wouldn't have it. And neither should you or I. If Oh, they rent their clothes, they tore their clothes, and they ran amongst the people. And here's what they said. They said, "Sirs, why do you these things?" They said, "We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." Paul and Barnabas said, "No, we're not gods, we're men like you. Turn from these things. Turn to the living God which created the heavens and the earth." Turn to the living God, but not in the NIV. Because there it says, "Turn unto a God." Oh, my friends, we have problems in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is also the removal from the new versions of the power, the incomparable power of the living God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 reads in the King James, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything." Oh, that's right, friends. It won't help you to be circumcised unless you have Jesus Christ to circumcise your heart. But in Galatians, the words "in Jesus Christ," "for in Jesus Christ," are stricken. They're not there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 says that you and I, accepting Christ, we are an heir of God. How? Through Christ. But only in the King James is it through Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, a verse that I have always read and pondered upon and contemplated on and wanted to model my life, as weak and helpless as I am, on that of Jesus Christ. It says there, Jesus' words, "And come, take up the cross and follow me." Take up the cross and follow me, said Jesus. But not in the NIV. The words "take up the cross" are deleted. They're not there. Luke 4, verse 4. All of you know it. All of you must love it if you know Jesus Christ. It says there, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." But not in the NIV. Because the words "but by every word of God" are not there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. All of you know this. "I can do all things," repeat it, "through Christ, which strengtheneth me." But not in the NIV. The words "through Christ" are not there. Well, my friends, Brother Larry Thomas talked to us about the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel that's being preached, it's in the new versions. Mark 10, verse 24. Do you remember, my friends, Jesus said, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." But not in the NIV. Instead, it says, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." The words "for them that trust in riches" are missing. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life," righteousness and honor. He that followeth after what? Righteousness, but not in the NIV. There it says, "He that followeth after prosperity." We have a problem, my friends. And that problem is seen very greatly in the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm telling you that the Jesus scholars, the men with all of the letters after their names that meet in Sonoma, California every year, say that Jesus really didn't give us the Lord's Prayer. But these people are followers of the devil, and his works they will do. But Jesus told us how to pray, and I believe it. And you can read of the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, or in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. But not in the new versions. They even differ between Luke and Matthew significantly. Let me tell you some of the things that are missing from the new versions. First of all, We read in the King James, our Father, which art in heaven. The word our is missing. You see, Christians can pray, our Father. But the sons of disobedience can't say that. But the NIV takes out the word our. Leaves just Father. He's the Father of all. The Christ Spirit is in every person. Whether you know Jesus or not, says John Marks Templeton, who gave $1 million to Chuck Colson, the Templeton Prize at the Parliament of the World's Religions this year. Which art in heaven? Well, my good friend Dave Hunt wrote a whole book, Whatever Happened to Heaven. Maybe he should ask himself why it's not in the NIV. Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, the devil doesn't want you to think there's a heaven. There's no reward for godliness in a holy life. There's only prosperity by following him. He lies. The New Agers teach there's only the spirit world. Dr. Jack Kevorkian was asked this question. What happens, Dr. Kevorkian, when you die? His answer, you rot. But the Bible says our Father is in heaven. Jesus said he's prepared a place for you. Another thing that you will find missing in the Lord's Prayer of the New Versions, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, there's no heaven. How would the Lord's will be done in earth as in heaven? It's missing. Another thing that's missing from most of the New Versions is the words, but deliver us from evil. I bet the devil loves that omission, doesn't he? He doesn't want you praying, deliver us from evil, because he's evil. And then finally, you won't find in most of the New Versions these mighty, these all-inspiring words, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then finally, as if a final insult by the devil who hates the very word of God, is the fact that the Lamb is missing from the Bible. We read in Revelation 13, verse 8, that all the world shall worship after the beast, except those whose names are written in the book of life, of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, but not in the NIV. Because you see, my friends, the book of life of the Lamb is not found in the NIV and the New Versions. And then, of course, we have to consider that the New Versions are the versions of the homosexuals and the sodomizers and the lesbians. You say, how can that be? It's because, my friends, the very word sodomy has been removed from the Old Testament in the NIV. Oh, yes. The word sodomy was removed. You say, how could that be? Why would they do such things? Does it have anything to do with the fact that Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf, one of the contributors to the NIV, has now admitted that she is a lesbian and has been a lesbian all her life, even when she was contributing changes and words to the NIV translation committee? Could that be the reason why? Is the NIV the choice of Bibles for the homosexuals? I believe it absolutely is. I want to give you some very quick facts as we're ending here. The NIV used the discredited Dead Sea Scrolls. I have evidence of that. The NIV, the world's best-selling Bible today, because you're stupid and uncouth and ignorant if you use the King James, of course. The NIV, as I said, is conditioning its readers to homosexuality and lesbianism. Did you know that where Paul talked about those who would not enter the kingdom of God, he talked about the effeminate, the homosexual? The NIV changed the words to homosexual offenders. And according to one homosexual who wrote me a letter, he said, Tex, you're so stupid, you don't understand. According to the NIV Bible, if you offend homosexuals, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's right there. Homosexual offenders. He says, my friend, The NIV is the Catholic Bible. It was dredged up from the dusty, dirty, filthy vaults of the Vatican. It was resurrected by two men named Westcott and Hort. And Miss Ripplinger talks about them at great length in her book, New Age Bible Versions. And I have checked out her references myself. Westcott and Hort were spirit channelers. These men resurrected this new Greek testament, so-called. They got it from the Vatican. It was found at one time in a trash can, the story goes, accidentally to be thrown away. Westcott and Hort resurrected it back in the last century. And it is from that manuscript that all of the new versions come. But the King James comes from a totally different manuscript. Primarily the Textus Receptus, or the received text. The NIV is the Catholic Bible. It is the occultist Bible. It is the Satanist Bible. Westcott and Hort were members of the Ghostly Guild. Oh, they had meetings with all of their occultic friends and talked and communicated with the spirits. They belonged to the Society for Psychical Research. And on the very year, 1851, that they began to work on their Greek New Testament, they were the founding members of the Ghostly Guild in Great Britain. Oh, my friends, there are things you don't know about these new versions of the Bible. And finally, my friends, the NIV is the Bible of the Alexandrian cult. What is the Alexandrian cult? The Gnostics, those who rejected Jesus Christ, had come in the flesh from Alexandria, Egypt. That's where the manuscript that the Vatican had, that Westcott and Hort had, that the New American Standard and all of the others now use, except the King James, came from. But God said, come out of Egypt. Did he not? Come out of Egypt. Oh, I'm telling you, my friends, Rome doesn't want you to believe in the King James Bible. That was the Bible that inspired Billy Sunday and Spurgeon and all of the great evangelists and missionaries throughout this earth, and millions have come to know Jesus Christ through the King James Bible. The devil didn't like that. Just got a news clipping from Brother Don Gemmel, who's here at the conference. It says, fundamentalists wrong about Bible, Vatican says. Oh, they're coming out strong against the Bible, the King James Bible. They don't have much to say about the NIV and the New American Standard. By the way, you can't even find out who is on the translation committee for the New American Standard. It's made millions of dollars for a very mysterious group called the Lockman Foundation. Write to them. They won't even tell you who was on the committee that put it together. I guess they don't want you to find out what we did about the NIV, that it was Dr. Mollenkopf, who's now written a book called Sensuous Spirituality, Out of Fundamentalism. I wonder who helped to translate the New American Standard version of the Bible. How many Mollenkopfs are there whose names they're hiding? It says here, Vatican City, Associated Press, a new Vatican document on how to interpret the Bible condemns the fundamentalist approach of word-for-word literalism as distorting, dangerous, and possibly leading to racism. That's right, Arno, you are a racist. I'm just here to tell you the Vatican has now so pronounced. Well, I can go on and on. I want to tell you, my friends, there are a few scholars who you can believe in. This book quotes Dean Burgeon, one of the greatest scholars, at the very same time he lived as did Westcott and Hort. And he will tell you that their work was monstrous. It's an invention. They have a manuscript with additions that did not even exist, says Dean Burgeon. Then there's a current scholar, Zane Hodges, that used that same word. He says it's monstrous, dangerous. The Westcott and Hort New Testament. You know, the Bible tells us, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. This is what we have. Now, my friends, These things may be so unbelievable to you. You probably haven't heard them from the pulpit. And when you go back home and you tell your pastor about it, he will say, oh, no, no, no. The new versions, there are only a few changes. You say that's a lie. It's an absolute lie. There are major changes in the new versions. They're of the devil. But don't expect it to be invited back to church the next Sunday for standing up for the Word of God. I'd like to end with Revelation chapter 22. By reading that, take just a moment, and I'm sorry to hold you. I know you've been sitting for a long time. You've been so very patient and kind. But, you know, this is chapter 22 ends the great work of God, Alpha and Omega, the Alpha and Omega that the new versions deny. Chapter 22 of Revelation, the King James Bible, begins, let's begin with verse 12 of chapter 22. And I think here you're going to find some godly advice for the devil's people and some godly advice for the people of the living God, whose name is Jesus Christ. We read, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." Verse 13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." I'm telling you, this Bible contains the commandments of God. It will allow you a passport into the holy city, if you believe it. Verse 15, "For without," that means without, meaning outside the gates of God, "for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." And I'm telling you, my friends, I want to be generous, but the people who have created these new versions are liars. They have made and they love a lie. The truth of God is not in them. Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star." It's not Lucifer. He was identified in the King James as the devil, Jesus, the bright and the morning star, who comes quickly. Verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely." My friends, every word, every jot, every tittle, every bit that will never pass away are the living waters of the living God, whose name is Jesus Christ. Come, he says, come, those who thirst. But verse 18 is a warning. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all."